talk about events more than just what happened to me personally, mm-hmm. and how I feel, and my siblings, and how we feel personally, mm-hmm. and the type of thing that we did. You know, I thought it would just be kind of just to go into events, that the things you remember, maybe some of the sad things, but some of the best things. Sure. And that was, so last night I was kind of just babbling. We were up at the hospital, of course, 9.5 hours, oh, you yeah. know.
You ran out of things to talk about.
I just got to talking about my family when I was young, and me as a teenager and a young married, mm-hmm. and such as that. And there's things in my life you don't even know about me that, mm-hmm. I thought, well, shoot, this would be, and I was just saying to, you know, Heather said, you know, you need to just kind of talk to Jake, you know, and let, he needs to hear this, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I mean, this is what I visualize, is us just laying here. Sure. Been back in the day. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, but as we were talking in there, you know, we're talking about this cancer. Uh-huh. And my mom didn't have cancer. She was pregnant with my uncle, with Uncle Lee. Uh-huh. And, but she had an obstruction in her colon. Mm-hmm. And Lee couldn't be born.
Oh, really?
So they had to go in and do surgery on her. And this is 1940.
Wow.
And they used, back in that day, they used chloroform, mm-hmm. as your anesthetic. Mm-hmm. And back in that day also, if you had a baby, you didn't walk for 2 weeks. And if you did anything else, they never let you up, you know.
Yeah.
Back, I mean, I'm lucky, they're lucky if they open the windows, you know, mm-hmm. and cleaned the instruments. I mean, it was back in the old days. Back in that day, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they did the surgery, and she and Lee was born, and he was several days old, and she was recuperating, but she came down with pneumonia, and that's what she died from, was pneumonia. So anyway, so, you know, just different things, you know, just going on right now. But anyway, so my dad, so there was myself, I was the oldest, and then Aunt Gloria was almost 3 years younger, and then there was Lee, who just was born. And my dad just didn't handle it. Mm-hmm. And he took off, and we lived in southern Utah, and he came to Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. And this was 1940, so they had just...
Was this Parowan you were living in?
Hmm?
Were you living in Parowan?
Paraguna. The little one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even smaller than Parowan.
Mm-hmm.
But, so my grandmother and my grandfather, and I don't know if you remember from reunions, but Catherine, my Aunt Catherine, she was the youngest on my mm-hmm. dad's sisters, and Aunt Ella... Uh-huh. And there was Aunt Sarah.
Is this Catherine Robb, the cookbook, Catherine Robb?
Yeah, that Catherine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, no, that's your great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother,
that's
okay.
My grandmother.
Okay.
Catherine and Milton.
Okay.
And then her name is spelled with a C. And then Catherine is spelled with a K. And that's was the youngest child.
That's your aunt.
And she's almost 3 years younger than I am.
Oh, really?
And she's like my sister Deb. Uh-huh. That is only about a year and a half older than your own dad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, so anyway, so she was one of those. And so I was the oldest of the grandchildren. And of course, down there in Paraguay, my uncles and the family lived, you know. And mm-hmm. So I'm five. Well, we're kind of renegades. I mean, when you live in a little town, you kind of wander all over the town and everything.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just what we did. Mm-hmm. And spoiled. I mean, I have to tell you, I mean, I was a spoiled brat, and...
I don't believe it.
Well, if you remember ever asking Aunt Ella, she would tell you that, you know?
Yeah.
And she'd tell me, she'd still, even when I was in my 70s, remind me how I ruined her most precious doll. You know? And,
yeah.
And my Aunt Sarah, who was probably my very favorite aunt, she had... red hair,
mm-hmm.
really curly red hair, and she didn't, you know, she'd had a couple of not too good marriages, and anyway, but, you know, she was, she just really was my buddy and my friend, and she was a couple of years older than Ellen, but anyway, so, and she ended up dying in a car wreck, and Catherine, her sister, you know, was driving the car. This was kind of sad. And she was driving the car, and her little girl got killed. Wow. And so it was kind of sad. But anyway, so that was when, and this happened just a few months before Steve was born. And way back then, and of course my grandmother had already passed on. But anyway, so a couple of years later, because we stayed with Grandma and Grandpa down in Paragon and just did what we did. We go help our cousins do their work, and we go play and go walk in the streams and walk up the canyon and go just wherever we wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And then I had other cousins on my mother's side that lived there in town, and so go visit with them, you know. I mean, it was a great life for a little kid.
Yeah.
Little towns were wonderful. I love little towns.
Yeah.
And so it was like your dad and I talking last night about Pomeroy and how much he loves Pomeroy and the fun things that just came into our lives from Pomeroy. And Pomeroy, I'll tell you about Pomeroy in a minute, because it was a turning point in my life. But anyway, I'll always remember. And I probably created a great effect in my mind as a child. I'm 7 now. Mm-hmm. And I come home, and back in the day, of course, you don't have telephones.
Sure.
If you did anything, you always wrote letters.
Uh-huh.
And I come home, and my Aunt Sarah and my grandmother are reading this letter from my dad.
Mm-hmm. Who was up in Salt Lake?
And he's here in Salt Lake, and he had written a letter and said that he had remarried. And that he had married a lady who was a widow, and she had one little boy, and it was now time he wanted to have the family come to Salt Lake and be with, and we would be a family together.
Including your mom?
Huh?
Including
my mom was dead.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she had gone. So anyway, and so this was your great-grandmother. This was Loa.
Uh-huh.
This was his second wife.
Yeah.
And Uncle Ron was her little boy.
Yep.
And so then there were the three of us. And Uncle Ron's father,
you said the three of us? So there
was Gloria, or there's myself,
you,
and Gloria, and Lee.
And Lee.
And then Ron was four.
Okay, sorry.
See, because Debbie wasn't born until
Way later. I thought we were
lost
somebody in the way.
Oh yeah, no. So anyway, and so he decided, and he wanted to be a family again, and he wanted his family. He wanted him to his parents to bring us to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, this was the beginning, a turn of a whole different thing, of a little spoiled girl and the freedom of whatever.
Uh-huh.
To go to Salt Lake City.
The big city.
And my grandmother said to my grandfather, now this is my grandmother's, was her mindset. Okay, Milt, we are moving to Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh.
He is not taking my grandchildren if I'm not there to watch over them.
Yeah.
And so, downtown Salt Lake, you have to visualize this. You know where the conference center is.
Yep.
Okay. And then right across kitty corner from the conference center is a white church. It's on Second North.
Oh, okay, on the north
side.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, there's apartments, and then there's a white church.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the White Church. It's been there for a long, long, long time.
Sure.
Well, right in that area was apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my grandparents rented an apartment back in the day. So downtown was kind of another one of those areas when I was at Grandma's that we toured and played in as kids,
so
and that type of thing down.
40s or 50s then?
This was back in...
It's probably 40s,
right? No, let's see. This was 1942. Yeah, so my dad was working for the, what are they, armament company. They were making bullets and different stuff out there on Redwood Road. And that's where he met Lola and such as that. So anyway, and they had rented an apartment because it was wartime up on the avenues. And so anyway, but we stayed with Grandma, and then we would go up there. But Grandma was not going to let my dad have my brother.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's two, and you just think that, you know, he wants him back too. He wants the whole family. And Grandma, not going to happen. I've raised him this far, and I'm not giving him up.
Oh, interesting.
And so anyway, Gloria and I went to be with them, and we lived, you know. And of course, here's a girl that you have to remember, spoiled, hated vegetables, didn't like, you know, was pretty much able to do pretty much what she wanted to do. And all of a sudden, she's got a new mom who loves vegetables. I mean, if you would call a cook, you would call my stepmother like your mom. Very healthy cook. Very healthy cook. So what do you suppose happened from that beginning?
You began to starve.
The battles were on. Anyway, and so I would get really upset. I mean, my grandmother, though, she... And I would call, and we had a phone, one of those, you know, everybody shared phones, and so they had what they called the neighborhood lines. But I would get on the, and I went, and Grandma had one. And over the years, I caused a lot. I mean, I was not happy. I mean, let's just face it, I was not happy. And anything I did, Gloria had to do.
Yeah.
So I would call Grandma, and I'd say, not staying here any longer. I'm coming home. And she'd say, well, I'll call a cab and then I'll pay for it when it gets here. And so I said to Gloria, okay, pack your clothes. and we're going to Grandma's. And I'm telling you, I mean, this was our life for a lot of years, for a long time. Because even when I was in school, I didn't care. Change schools.
Yeah.
So there was a school down, used to be the mission home, but it's been gone. It's down where the church history library is now.
Yeah, I think Bill went to that mission home.
Yeah.
My father-in-law.
Really? Yeah. Well, I was down there, and it was a, but it was an elementary school.
Oh, really?
And I went to that, we went to that school. We transferred from where we were at. Now, we lived, so that fall, my folks bought a house, and it was just here off of 33rd, and it was... You know, right where the cemetery is as you come up 33rd. It's off of Imperial. You go over a couple of blocks, and then it was right in there.
Oh, interesting.
And so we would, and then back where, over here where Evergreen Junior High is, was, and Ernie Hill went to the same school. And it was called Sherman.
The piano player?
No, our Ernie, you know, lives on the corners. Ernie and Sam.
That hill's,
Yeah, that hill. Because he lived on 33rd at that time. Anyway, it was Sherman Elementary. It was an old two-story with the old, from coming up from the way story down was one of the outside stairways, you know. And we had kind of an old oak forest, you know, over there. And I really liked that school. But my third grade, when I was in there, I think I had every childhood disease there was. Every single one. And, of course, I shared it with my siblings. And our house, and back in that day, the house was always quarantined. You couldn't go in and you couldn't go out because of all the diseases that was going on and everything, and the measles and the chicken pox and the pink eye and the, name them. And so anyway, and so poor old Lola, she was only 16 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and that was not another. And so anyway... And had to be cooped up there with us.
So when did they get married? How old were you when they got married?
I was seven.
Seven.
So she was 23.
And already a widower? Was it a widower to the war?
What?
Was she a widower to the war?
Yeah. Well, they met, I think, at work. And so anyway, and her sister took care of Ron at that point in time, because I think she worked. And that.
Oh, so Ron's not from your dad.
No, Ron, Uncle Ron is he's a stepbrother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Lee is my real brother, and Gloria. And Deb is my half-sister.
Right, okay.
Okay, now, that's the five.
Uh-huh.
But Deb didn't come along till we lived in Spokane.
Sure.
Long time later. Because they had told Lowell she could never have any more children.
And that happened.
So you want to talk about a surprise?
That's so funny. That same thing, it came up in this talk that I was listening to yesterday. This woman, she said she wanted a baby, and then her husband went to prison and just... And then got out of prison, they had a, and then they just struggled. She was Tongan.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I just want a big family. And struggled. And then she had a baby. 11 months later, had twins. And then 13 months later, had another kid. And she's like, wow. So, like, literally within 2 years span, 24 months, she had four kids.
Yeah. Well, look at your grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, your mom's mom, 7 children in 5 years.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But anyway, so...
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so we lived here in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, things between us were not good. Mm-hmm. But I can't say we didn't have some good times.
Sure.
But we did. But the battle was usually on. And it was usually every Sunday we had a battle.
Uh-huh.
And I want to go to Grandma's. Sometimes I get out of school on Friday and I say, okay, Gloria, pack your clothes. We're going down to Grandma's for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
We catch the bus.
Uh-huh.
And go down to Grandma's. Only one time I went down there. It was chilly. It was in the early winter.
Uh-huh.
Grandma wasn't home. The doors were all locked. So, that was hard.
Yeah, they do.
But anyway, but what I'm leading up to is my change as a person to become unhearing, not listening, hard-minded, don't give a darn about anything.
Uh-huh.
I don't care except what you want,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's not a good way to go.
No.
And so then from there when I'm 16, and of course my folks, we just kept moving. I mean, we stay in a place for a couple of years, they buy another house, and we'd move. And then we moved to Holiday and bought this brand new house out there. And I went out to rent to school at Mount Olympus Junior High, the old one, and so did my sister. And it was a great year. We loved it. We had fruit trees and on the property and watering stream that would go through.
This water bottle?
Oh, that would be great. Because I'm talking a lot. Anyway. And, you know, and there were really good things. I have to tell you. Well, I really tried hard.
Yeah.
As I look back, you know, as in retrospect, that... But my dad was a hard person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a total lion. He was not... You know, you're such a super good father. I mean, you are just such a... super good father.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, we love my dad, but he was good, you know, around his nieces and nephews and that. But the kids, you know, it was just toe the line this and toe the line that, you know, and don't do as I say, don't do as I do, but do as I tell you and blah, blah, blah. And he and I would go the rounds, man, oh man, because I wasn't listening to him either.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, it just made you... So, over the years, and then Dad got transferred to El Paso, Texas. And I loved El Paso, Texas. But it was hard. My sister and my brother and I, our folks never went to church with us. Never, you know, just go to church. But they would take us there and drop us off in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we had an activity, like we did things on Friday night at the church in El Paso, Dad would always complain and know you're not going, but Lola would always take us and drop us off and come get us and that type of thing. But it was always a battle over everything, you know. And so we were there about a year, And then Dad gets transferred to Spokane, Washington. And so anyway. And
what was he doing for work?
That's when he worked for the transit company.
Uh-huh.
And he worked for, the company was a national company called National City Lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they had company, the bus companies in all the major cities, mm-hmm. bigger cities in the different states throughout the United States. And he was in charge. He was head of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so super.
That's where my dad got his first like bus mechanic mm-hmm. job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dad. My dad was superintendent down there at that point, or time, and then your dad went to work there, and he retired from there, Dad did, and so anyway, so they couldn't sell the house in El Paso. See, and my folks never talked to us about, and they never told us problems. They never taught you how to handle money. They never, it was always just, like I said, you know, this is what I'm telling you to do, so do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so you don't learn.
Yeah.
You just don't learn, and you don't understand either, you know. Right. And so anyway, so we moved, and I want to move. I loved El Paso. It was a low key. I mean, we went from Salt Lake City, where you had to wear special clothes. I mean, you had to dress a certain way or you weren't even a part of the group.
Yeah.
You know, and that type of thing. Certain shoes, certain sweaters, certain skirts and everything. We went to El Paso and you could wear moccasins to school and pants to school. And the kids were so polite. It was always, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, and everybody at church, I love church, but I didn't, to say I had a knowledge of church, I didn't. Yeah. I went because it was an activity. It was it was social.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids even from the school, because the high school is just up above our church, so not too far. And even non-members, you know, we always did, we had a big turnout because it was just a fun thing.
Very good,
social way to a place to be.
Sure.
And so anyway, we came back to Salt Lake. And they went to Spokane to try to find a house. And so Ron stayed with his grandparents, and Gloria and I stayed with ours again. Well, in the meantime, my grandparents, a long time before this, had bought a house over just up the road a little bit from where they, from this apartment. It's just below the Capitol building, down this really steep hill.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was on a hill. So they lived there, and some of my other cousins and my Aunt Sarah, she lived there. And so we went from, because I was in South High School when we left.
Yep.
So, but they were in West High School District, so we went to West High.
Hmm.
And that was, Catherine was going to West High too, I think. But we had some great, you know, great times, because we knew the neighborhood kids, because we'd spent a long time. So we were there. And so things were just, it was going really good. We were there about 3 months.
Hmm.
And Dad called Grandma and said, okay, we found a house, so now send the kids here.
Mm-hmm.
I said to Grandma, I am not going. And she said, you don't have to go. Well, she fought the battle. I mean, wow. I have to give her credit for that. But my dad wouldn't relent. And so, but of course, my brother Lee didn't go. He was still and Lee always felt, this was the thing, you have to look at his side, because he always felt like he was abandoned by Dad.
Uh-huh.
Because he didn't understand that Grandma wouldn't let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that was when he was younger and later too.
Yeah, and so he and Catherine kind of grew up as brother and sister type thing, you know, because they weren't that big a difference in age. There's only just a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, but that was always has been kind of, for years and years that he lived with, was the mindset of he was kind of abandoned. And both boys, Ron and Lee, they kind of grew up. Ron just was very quiet, very shy, didn't make lots of friends, and such as that. And as you know, he became quite a recluse over the the years of his life.
Yeah.
Never dated, you know, a bitter, wasn't treated well by either his mom or our dad, because mm-hmm. that was just, they were just not children raising people.
Yeah.
And they still didn't go to church. And so anyway, and so we moved to Spokane, and I was bitter. Oh, you talk about somebody that was not nice now. I mean, it was not a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And I said, and they kept saying, oh, you'll love Spokane. It's the friendliest city. Don't tell me what I'm going to love and what I'm not, because I'm not going to love Spokane, and I'm going to hate it every minute of the day I'm there.
What year is this?
This is 1950. I'm trying to think. I was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I'm trying to think back to the day when we got there. Well, the funny thing is we went to Spokane, and they saw we had a TV that they had bought here in Salt Lake City. Uh-huh. We lived in El Paso for a year. Couldn't use it. They didn't have TV.
Uh-huh.
It was in Spokane. They still didn't have TV. Anyway, so they were up there when we were there when the first channel of TV came in. So anyway, oh, no, it was 1951, I think.
51,
yeah, mm-hmm. because I graduated in 53.
Uh-huh.
So 1951. And so anyway... Yeah, it was not nice. It was just, you know, we had, like I said, we still had some people. There's my dad. Of course, I'm 17 years old. Uh-huh. It's a Saturday morning, and either we get up and we go fishing with Dad, or we clean the house. Every Saturday we clean the house, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was a cute boy across the street. It was really cute. And I would go out and wash the windows, because we always had to wash the windows every Saturday. And everything. And he had a yellow convertible.
Ooh.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. But guess what happened? His name was Bill Schultz. I'll never forget that name. Bill Schultz. He was a tall, skinny kid. You know, we all went to the same high school.
Looked him up on Facebook?
No. Yeah. Anyway, but you know who he ended up asking? My sister.
Ah, that dog.
Oh, all that work outside on those windows, and he asked my sister out. You know, but anyway, so, you know, and there was just more things that I wanted to do. I wanted to go do things with my friends because I wasn't going to church.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go to church, didn't want anything to do, and they're all snots and snooty, and my folks didn't go to church, and so Gloria did for a while, and Ron, but I that one wasn't my thing anymore,
mm-hmm.
because there was not the social, and of course, just have to stop and think when you got a grim-faced person that's a teenager looking at you, nobody wants to be your friend.
No.
It just doesn't happen, you know. So it just makes you more bitter and more ornery and harder of heart. You have no feeling.
Yeah.
You don't care even more. And such is that. And, of course, the friends I took up with at school were not the best friends to get mm-hmm. involved with. But they were my friends.
Yeah.
And we always had a lot of fun together, but my folks were always saying, no, you can't go out to the lake, because they used to have dance pavilions out at the lake, at Liberty Lake, and
uh-huh.
and over a couple, and you would, they'd have, and they'd be out on the water, you know, and they'd, it was, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Everybody went, you know, I mean, everybody, because they were always packed, and we always had fun, and go to the drive-ins, and so. Mm-hmm. I just lied and went anyway, and just told stories, and that's not good either, you know. I mean, doesn't help you grow, doesn't help you do much of anything.
Yeah.
And so I finally, I graduated, and then I got to, you know, just doing my thing, and I met one of the young men. I knew his sister went to high school with her,
uh-huh.
and. All I wanted to do was get out of the house, so I got married.
There you go.
And it wasn't the best of arrangements, and can you, you know, I thought I was in love, but I wasn't in love, and he wasn't in love either, but
mm-hmm.
anyway, it's just one of those things, and that was not working out. He was doing his thing, and I was living with a friend who was pregnant, and she had a little girl, and we lived together
uh-huh.
for a long time. But the fun thing that came out of that is that we lived in this apartment house downtown in Spokane, and downstairs was an empty apartment, and guess what? This group of Marines moved in downstairs. And I'm still married, but never say, you know, he's never around. So anyway, but we've become really good friends. Uh-huh. And I worked at Albertsons.
What was that guy's name?
What?
What was this guy's name? The
Uncle Ron Hours.
I don't know.
Oh, the one I married?
Yeah.
His name was Danny Grandstaff.
Danny Grandstaff.
Daniel Grandstaff. Hmm. And I liked his mom and dad, and of course Iris was his sister, and I really liked him, but he was just into doing other things, and
yeah.
And so, you know, I would be married, but anyway, so, didn't matter, so, yeah. Anyway, this one was Marine, I can't remember his name, but anyway, Skip was his name.
they're all named Skip.
Yeah. Skip the Marine. Yeah. Well, anyway,
uh-huh.
I really liked this Ron Hours.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the Marines downstairs. Uh-huh. And the buses didn't run on Sunday, and I had to go from downtown up to North Spokane to go to work.
Uh-huh.
And so, bus is hard. He'd get up and take me up to work in his car.
Oh, nice.
And I just kind of, he was kind of shy and just kind of a nice guy. And we'd talk and everything, and I thought, this guy's going to be perfect for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
Yep, set him right up, huh?
I did. So anyway, then, was it right? It was after that. I went back home for a while. And
back to Salt Lake?
No, back to Spokane. I mean, in Spokane, back to my folks' house. Sure.
Because you were living with this friend.
Yeah, I was living with a friend, and we decided to not keep the apartment. And I went back there because I was, and it was closer to Albertsons. I could walk to Albertsons, where I worked. And
what did you do at Albertsons?
I worked in the bakery.
Oh, really?
You know, and when I was interesting, and I love the people I work with. And one of my thing is I go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. If you can believe me, getting up at that time. And I would go to work, and I would set the trays, you know, for the... Because back in that day, bakeries are really, really popular.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't... The boxed, baked cakes and things were just starting to come on the market. So everybody bought everything from the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, and I loved it. And, of course, I've always been a talker, you know.
Yeah.
And so my boss said to me one time, "You know what, Marion," he said, "would say, if you would just stop talking, you could get a lot of stuff done because you always use your hands when you talk." Uh-huh. But that's what I did. I that for, you know, and I was, you know, and put stuff outside. And it was a great big long counter.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what happened to me at this great big long counter. And it's Christmas, and we did. And we had the best cake decorator. Oh, my golly. He was so good. And and we put the cakes back in the cooler when they were decorated. And then they come out, and this was a full sheet cake. And we had two doors that would come out to the front counter. So if we got busy, I would take off my apron and go out and help at the counter.
Uh-huh.
And this lady came to pick up her sheet cake. So I went back, and it was coming out like this, and I took too sharp a turn, and right here, see, here's the doorway, and then right next to this doorway was a middle left where all the bread pans were stacked, but the bread pans were full of bread.
Uh-huh.
So I took the shortcut and caught my foot, my leg, on this middle thing, and went, pew! And all I could think was, holy cow, save the cake. So I slid on my stomach, out the door, holding that cake. That cake did not get damaged.
Didn't budge an inch.
But boy, I was bleeding all over my leg. Anyway. Well, and then, and you know, and so just funny things like that. But, yeah, so I worked there for a long time. And then Danny came back into my life, and he said, you know, he said, my folks are moving to Lewiston, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think we should move there together and try to put our marriage together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I was able to transfer to Lewiston from to Albertsons because uh-huh. they had an Albertsons. Because Albertsons was created in Boise, Idaho, anyway.
Uh-huh.
So they had an Albertsons in Lewiston. So I went to Lewiston, and we got a little apartment right next to where his parents lived
mm-hmm.
and such as that. And, you know, and it was what? I mean, he was looking for a job, and I was working, and things seemed to be going really good. And then one day, there was a knock on the door, and it was the police, and they came to arrest him for robbery in Spokane.
Oh, wow.
And so he ended up in prison. And so that was just another little thing that... and it just went downhill from there. And so anyway, but then I got involved, and I don't tell this story much because I just don't, I haven't told it to much of anybody, but Steve was my child from an affair I had.
Uh-huh.
And then Grandpa adopted him. He was only just a few months old when I met your grandfather.
Uh-huh.
And we just became an item, and of course, Ray's parents were just absolutely the most wonderful people I'd ever met, and the warmest and the kindest people I'd ever met uh-huh. in my life. And I didn't care about people. I didn't care what they thought or whatever. I mean, I really didn't, you know. And I worked for a little Italian restaurant, and I lived with these people. They were, their kids were just a little older than I was. We were really good friends, and
mm-hmm.
and then I lived with their parents, and she took care of Steve for the while before Pop and I got married, and such as that. And so anyway, that's the story of, you know, but still, that turn of events didn't make me nicer either. And so anyway,
so when did you guys get
married? And I really had nothing. I mean, I had nothing. I mean, no background. I mean, my background in the church was nil.
Yeah.
I mean, because as a kid, Grandma would always take us to church and everything with her because she always went. She was so stolid. But I just, you know, it just didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, I always figured everybody was always out for something.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you might as well do it to them before they do it to you,
yeah.
type thing. But anyway, so we got married, and we lived in several places, and your dad was born, that little cute red-headed little kid. And I have to laugh. This is always kind of a funny story, because Mom just loved the children. I mean, mm-hmm. she was such a great grandparent to those boys. Well, to all her grandchildren, but yeah. she really was great to those boys, and so was Dad. But your dad,
Sounds like my grandma. Sounds like my grandma.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my grandmother was that way. I mean, she spoiled me rotten, and yeah. I wanted to be that kind of grandma with my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mom and Dad, that's the way she was. You would love Mom, because, yeah. and you were mourned the day she was buried
uh-huh.
of her funeral. And your dad was supposed to get the prayer, and he, of course, was at the hospital with yeah. you. So you were a very special grandchild to me, because at the time you came to my life
mm-hmm.
and such as that. And I think that's why we've always had such a great bond, you know, is because just the way you were, it was just so neat. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, they lived in Lewiston, and Dad had worked at the furniture store, and Mom was a seamstress, and they worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
They were really poor when they grew up. Your mom and grandmother on that side picked cotton. When they were kids, they lived in Texas, part of the Dust Bowl, moved mm-hmm. during the Dust Bowl and the Depression to California. Second World War came along, and so then there were jobs and things, you yeah. know, and that type of thing. and your dad or your grandfather, he joined, and it's a great story about him. He had an opportunity with a friend who were great, you know, really good cartoonists and stuff. Uh-huh. And they had an opportunity to go work at Disney. And they did, and then they were offered jobs to come back. He just graduated from high school. And that's him and his Navy picture over there with his brother. Uh-huh. But I've got his graduation picture, and he looks like he's about 12. And just he, and believe it or not, at that point in time when he went in the Navy, he was only 5'3".
Really?
And so anyway.
How tall was he when he died?
6'1".
6'1"? He just seemed always like such a giant to me.
Yeah. Well, and he was big. I mean, he was like Ben. He was big. He was
big, yeah.
Big, round, big. You know, he was skinny. And then he broke his hip, and then he didn't do the exercise. He didn't do the exercise. Yeah. And he did other kinds of work. But anyway, so they and his friend were offered a job at Disney. And that's all the way, of course, down to wherever Disney studios were. And they lived in Santa Ana, California. And his mother was not going to let him leave home.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their baby.
Yeah.
And he only looked like 12. He was 5'3", wow. Weighed 127 pounds. And so anyway, oh, he was so mad. He said, he was 17, he said, I'd never been so angry with my mom, because that was my desire all my life. Well, yeah. I mean, 17 was his desire. And his other friends stayed, and they made a career with Disney.
Wow.
And so he was always upset about that.
They stay in touch?
I don't know. He did for a while, I think, but I think then things worked. So, you know what your grandfather did? He said, I'll fix her. He joined the Navy.
There you go.
And his brother was in the Navy. And his brother was stationed at 29 Palms, which is right outside of Santa Ana. So he didn't... But you know where Bill did his boot camp was in...
Alabama?
Up in Idaho.
Oh, really?
Farragut, Idaho.
Huh.
At the lake up there. It's a really deep lake.
Oh, is that where they do the submarine testing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do up there.
Yeah,
in that one area. Yeah. But anyway, so he joined the Navy, and he said, now I'll get to go somewhere. And he went all the way to Long Beach.
It's my favorite story.
It's a great story. I love it. Anyway, so that was what it was. And that's when he started growing is when he joined the Navy. And he started. And so that's how he got into the hospital corps is because... He was always in a lot of pain and everything because of these growth spurts.
Yeah.
And so they just said, well, hey, you might as well sleep here.
Yeah.
You're here all the time anyway. You might as well just help us out. So that's what he did.
Well,
but he said, you know, the nice thing about it, he was on a, what was it, some kind of a tender. I can't ship tender. Your dad's got a picture of it. Anyway. And he said, I'm finally getting away from here. The ship is headed for Honolulu.
Uh-huh.
They got about 80 miles out and the war was over. Anyway, so that's not here there. So then he comes back and he decides he's going to be, he wants to be an MTC in an ambulance. And so he's driving ambulance and that, but they don't do the training like they do today, you know. And such as that. And so he even delivered one of Betty Davis's babies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Picked up people, you know. Can you imagine your becoming grandfather and picking up burnt bodies that have been burned and taking them to the hospital? But anyway, so he decided he wanted to maybe go into medicine, but then changed his mind. And then he... met Paula Brown, and that became his first wife.
Yeah.
And they had four children. But anyway, Bill was born up in the mountains of Northern California, up towards Susanville, up in that area.
That's where Bill, my father-in-law, grew up.
So anyway, So that story. So anyway, I'm in Lewiston, and here comes this fellow in, and he came back as two of his children of the four were living with his parents, and he decided that he was going to, he's always wanted to do it, so he was just going to go. Didn't have a wife, his kids were with his parents. He's going to Australia. And so guess who that was? And so he would come into this restaurant, this fine restaurant where I worked, and he would come in the evening, and everybody, people would come in to eat for dinner, bring their kids. He'd draw cartoons for the kids.
Uh-huh.
He'd spend all the time there. Anyway, and so he just did that.
What was he going to do in
Australia? I don't know what he was going to do. I mean,
what was he doing in Lewiston?
Oh, he came up and he got a job as in one of the sign shops. He knew people there because his folks had moved there right after the war was over. And this was back, now we're in the 50s.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he went to work for this company, and he was staying with these folks and such as that. And he'd come in and just visit. And this English gal that worked there, I worked with, her name was Rosina. She said, "I think he kind of likes you." And I said, "Nah." You know. But he did that for several months.
Uh-huh.
And then he invited me up for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Embarrassing. I had the best, and his mother made the best tacos you've ever eaten in your life. I ate 12 of them. I would use the spaghetti. Anyway, I fell in love with his mom, you know. And I quit eating spaghetti and was eating. And, you know, she was the best cook. And so then I would take Steve up, and we would go up, and I'd spend time with them, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
And Bill and Judy. That was his two oldest kids, and such as that. And so then we decided to get married. So we did. And then we were there, and then we lived in a little apartment, Lewiston. And he got a job down in Tri-Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we moved to...
Pasco?
We lived in Kennewick, but Pasco, Richland area, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's your dad was born... We lived in Kennewick, but your dad was born in Pasco.
Right.
And such as that. And so we kept moving around because, you know, he had this motto. It was his little motto. And he had friends who had the same motto. They were all sign painters. They go out.
Yeah.
And when it was spring up time to hit the road and go find next to these, you know.
Uh-huh.
They weren't good about holding jobs.
Sure.
So anyway, we moved quite a bit.
Mm.
That anyway, so we lived around. We ended up back in Lewiston, and then we ended up in a town called Yakima. We were there for a couple of years, and Steve started kindergarten. No, I don't think they had kindergarten then. I think it was first grade. And so then that summer we went. This is 1964. So we moved on, and it's July. Probably the hottest day of the year I've ever seen in Lewiston, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing on a temperature 117 degrees.
No way. Wow.
And he had been asked, he knew a lot of people down in that area. And one of his friends lived in this little town called Pomeroy.
Uh-huh.
And his name was Max Trosper. And he and his wife, they didn't have any children. They were great people, and they owned the concrete company.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted your dad to come to Pomeroy and start a sign shop. Now, Pomeroy had about 800 people.
a lot of signs needed in Pomeroy.
Yeah, a lot of signs needed, absolutely. But we were 30 miles from Lewiston.
Uh-huh.
And he could, he'd get part-time work over there.
Sure.
And so, anyway, you know, and I mean, Mom and Dad are my, you know, that's who I love and everything, but most people, nah. Didn't care for them, didn't like them,
uh-huh.
didn't want much to do with them, didn't care what I said to them, whatever.
Yeah.
Wasn't very nice. And so anyway, so Ray said to me, "Do you think we should move to Pomeroy?" And I said, "Why would I know?" And he said, well, I just think if we're going to move, we've got to, you know, find a house. Then we have to go get our stuff in Yakima and all of this. And we're going to have to ask my parents to help.
Yeah.
Which, you know, all the years of all the times you learn people that really teach you love and kindness was them.
Mm-hmm.
They always helped. When you did stupid things, they never told you you did stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever said you did stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Other than she talked about the funny Mormon church. But that was another era that came into being. But anyway.
I have to go in like 10 minutes to catch all a right. flight. So
I'll talk really fast. So this is the turning point. So anyway, I thought, okay, I've got to make this decision. And I'm telling you, Jake, I haven't prayed in years.
Uh-huh.
So that night, I got down on my knees, and I said to him, Father, I know I don't pray, and I know I don't ask you for anything. I know I'm not the type of person that has been a good person to for anything or anybody, but I love my children very much. I love them so much. And we're close to Mom and Dad. Shall we move to Pomeroy, to a town that doesn't have any businesses? Anyway, I got my answer. It was yes. So on this 117th day, degree day, we went to Pomeroy and looked for a house and found this little house that we lived in for a couple of years before we bought a house in Lewis. And it was the best thing. And right after that, it was almost, you know, the next day or whatever. I don't know. But this lady by the name of Kay Argyle came and knocked on my door, and she said, I hear you're a member of the church.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, how did you know that? And she said, well, I don't know. She said, somebody told me, so I came to welcome you to town and became my best friend.
Hmm.
And she said to me, you got these little boys here. They're getting close to the age of baptism. They need to be baptized. You need to take these children to church. And this little town had a branch.
Uh-huh.
And the little branch was right across the street. And I said, In Pomeroy. This little town, Pomeroy, Washington. Nobody locked their doors.
Now, was it a church building or like a home?
No, it was a house. Uh-huh. It was a rental house.
Yeah.
And they met. And there was just a few people, farmers, some of them were farmers, and such as that. I said, okay, I will come. And I wasn't, you know, I still had my bad habits, and I thought, oh, this is a bunch of silly stuff. But I went to church, and my whole life changed.
Yeah.
So I call this, in my history, my life July of 1964, and my prayers were answered. And then her husband was the branch president, and our ward was in Clarkston, where we eventually moved.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, you're just perfect, you know, and the kids, he was the one that baptized your dad, and he's the one that baptized Steve. And he said, you love the youth. Couldn't sing, we didn't have that many, but then his kids were most of the youth, you know. I mean, his kids, his boys were about the same age as Ken and Steve, and they became the best of friends. And then he had some daughters. We had a few more kids, some other boys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to work with the youth.
Uh-huh.
Me? With my habits? You want me to work with the youth?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, let me think about it. And so I'm standing at the ironing board, ironing, and I have a cigarette sitting in an ashtray there. And I thought, they want me to work with the youth. This is not something I can do.
Yeah.
So I put out the cigarette, and I said, okay, Heavenly Father, your answer, I'm praying, and I really need your help. will you help me get rid of these habits? Mm-hmm. And that was the end of it.
There you go.
For the rest of my life. And then another time, in Pomeroy, my Bill runs away from home, California, uh-huh. and comes up. And he says, you know, and his parents were down there threatening that they're going to force him into the service, mm-hmm. which he ends up finally going, you know, three tours of duty in Vietnam.
Wow.
He becomes an alcoholic, a drug addict.
Sure.
You know, horrible things. He's 17, he goes in. And it's just, it's really bad. But anyway, that's not the part I wanted to tell you about. So anyway, he has to leave. He's got to go back to California because mm-hmm. they're threatening, you know, jailed for Ray abetting it, you know. And he didn't know.
Because he's dodging the draft.
Well, but. No. He ran away from home down so in California.
Put him in jail because he ran away?
He ran away. They were going to force that. And Ray didn't even know he was there. Bill just took a chance and said, because his mother had told him that he had, and he said, I have an aunt and an uncle that live here in Southern California. Oh, she said, no, they don't live here anymore. Uh-huh. And he said, oh, I know they do. And then he said, I know that my grandparents lived in Lewiston, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
So we got on the phone, and he called information uh-huh. and got their phone number wow. and called them. And then he ran away to Lewiston
wow.
and came there. But anyway, so they were forcing him to go back. So again, I asked another, and this has been my life. I asked another, said another prayer, how can I help Bill? What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, there was a knock on the door, and it was missionaries. And they worked with Bill. Mm. So, not under his adopted name, but under Spurlock, he was baptized in the church.
Wow.
And he always, even when he was so sick and dying, he would call and he would say, Mom, now remember, Mother, he'd say, remember, I've tried to be a good member of this church. Yeah, no, he wasn't.
Uh-huh.
But he would go off his meds, you know, and he'd say, and I'm trying to do work for Heavenly Father. I'm trying so hard to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I know, Bill, you know, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when I was living over here with Aunt Ella. But I just want you to know that no matter what, Jake, I cannot change. I cannot. And my question to you is, I don't know what's going to happen with me. But I'm 80, so we know eventually what's going to happen. I mean, after all, I have an 80. No, nothing's
different.
Wait a minute. About your heart. I got an
80. I thought you were 28 and three quarters.
Well, no. I turned that 80, that blasted 80. I didn't want to ever be 80. Anyway, what do I tell my Savior? I can't just say, you're not the Lord.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, well.
And I want, you know, I mean, I have grandchildren that don't go to church. Christopher doesn't. But his story is different. His story is not your story, my story.
Mm-hmm.
His yours and mine is combined in that. And I just have to testify to you, regardless of what you do and where you go. Please take the time, I'm asking you, to also check out and go back, not looking for flaws, but just check with your heart. Check with what we have right here, right now, and what I went through, how I learned to have a heart,
mm-hmm.
how I learned how to try to be forgiving and kind and be a good grandmother and a good grandparent and a great grandparent.
You are a great grandparent.
And I love you so much.
Me too.
And I just, and you're so special that you're always close, and I just want to know that you're going to be okay.
I'm going to be okay.
I just want you, for you and your family, you've got such a beautiful family.
Thank you.
And you work so hard to make it that way. And I just want to tell you how much I loved you.
Thank you.
and just to share a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not a. It was hard, and I was you don't know me from what I used to be all those years ago. But yeah, it was a different person became me.
Yeah.
And I know my Heavenly Father loves me because he's always there for me. Sure. Now he's got to help me find where I put in a good place while I was on vacation. 3 credit cards I put away so that they wouldn't be stolen. No, I just lose them in the house. Yeah. So. But anyway, he's my Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, he loves us. He just wants us back. Just to grow and be better, and that's why I'm excited even more when it happens. It's because I know I'm going to grow. I know that I'm going to continue on, because that's what our parents want for us. What you want for your children?
Yeah.
You want them to be better than you. You want them to have more than you. You want them to have everything you've got and more, and that's what he wants for us.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. And you're so blasted smart. And you know, back in the day when you were hit by that car, and I was praying in Spokane, and it came to me because I couldn't find out why you were so close to death. And that was when you had that hidden bleeding, you know?
Yeah.
And it was said to me, you know, I have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's special to me. And you know, in your life, as you watch yourself grow up, you have been. Your patriarchal blessing tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
This was a testament that you needed to live. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to share those things with you. How they came to my heart to testify to me of who you are and how special you are.
Thank you.
And I wanted, because we don't hardly ever have time to talk. Know. It's just always Heather and, you know, and of course, you know, and when the family's here, you know, and we're always doing, you know, that's what's important. We have to do things with her. So that's why I buy paper for the Annie machine. And, you know, and I forgot, you know, that old typewriter, Josh has got down in his room.
He does?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's sitting down there. I can't believe it, but there it is. Because when we moved, he brought it. So it's down in his room on one of the shelves.
I'll have to look.
Yeah, it's there. Just special nostalgia. But these were special things, like the car up on the hill.
Yeah. I've told Melissa 100 times. I can't wait to get back to Spokane. It's been too long for me.
It has. I was hoping that's what we would do next year. But whatever you do, you need to go see Grandpa.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he loved you so much.
Yeah, I loved him.
All of them. I mean, we used to have such good times. And then I always remember, and you were just learning to talk when I was born. And I remember we were up at your house before you moved here. And I was holding Tyler. He was the baby. And Grandpa was sitting next to me, and you came up, and you just barely were talking, and you said, "Give him to Grandpa."